Warning. This episode of JARP contains multiple spoilers for multiple movies and multiple streaming
platforms.
Shows.
You've been warned.
You've been warned. We've warned you before, but now you are extra warned because this episode's full of spoilers.
This is an ultimate warning.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Hello and welcome to Just Another Review Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Russ.
And I'm the other host, Sean. This is a very special episode of Just Another Review, as we're interrupting our regular scheduled programming to have a general discussion on 2022 and what we're looking for. 2022, that sounds weird to say.
It is. I keep on saying 2020. But it's not 2020, it's 2022.
Add two to that.
But we can't look forward without looking back.
We can't?
It has been pointed out that we made a mistake with episode 19 that Mike D from the Beastie Boys and Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell are not brothers and are not related.
What? I guess I should fact check. But wait. What about Neil Diamond? Is he?
He's definitely related to both.
Perfect. Thank God.
Now, we're looking forward to 2022. There are some topics I'd like to discuss with my main man, my main squeeze, Sean. Oh. Sean of the Dead. Hey. The keeper of sacred Chinese
food. That's me.
The connoisseur of anchovies and his minutes pizza. The guy who pees on his pants when I come up behind him in the urinal, kick his feet apart and say, spread them.
Yes, I did. All those things, I'm guilty of all these things, and as you see, I'm a man of many, many nicknames. I wear many hats.
So on the docket today, we are discussing Marvel Cinematic Universe and the DC Cinematic Universe. Is this the year, 2022, that DC boots Marvel off its throne, Sean? Do you think it's the year?
I don't know. We're going to dip and dive into that, because I'm trying to think what DC has coming up that could possibly narc Marvel off its coke addiction.
Is that why DC isn't as popular? Because people just think it's a narc.
I think so. Yeah, it's just like they're telling on everybody, right?
Yeah,
like Batman's just a big tattletale.
Who's that guy at his locker down the hallway with a beard? Looks like a narc. Oh, it's DC.
Oh, that's Aquaman. He fucks everything up. Well, there's our swear jar.
Whoops. Every time Sean swears,
okay,
he has to.
Well, you know, we're gonna dip into the Golden Globes, but we're also gonna be looking at our Oscar race and our favorite film of 2021, which we both agree on is The Power of the Dog, or Year of the Dog, if you listened intensely to Russ last episode.
And no one listens to Russ intensely, so that's okay. But we're not looking back anymore.
Okay. Let's move forward. Oscar nominations will be announced on February 8th, but if we throw out our predictions now, will it affect these nominations? Yeah. Are any of them listening to us? Do you think Tommy's listening to us, yeah, Mr. Hanks? He runs everything,
doesn't he? He runs Hollywood, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely not. In the last episode, we gave you our rankings of the top 10 TV series in 2021. Unfortunately, neither of us had seen Station 11 at that point. So we're going to spend some time reviewing that show and giving our overall feelings of some of our shows that we've been talking about recently, like Yellow Jackets Season 1 and Hawkeye Season 1.
Yeah, I got some movies I've watched lately too.
Movies?
Like to bring in. Yeah. You know, we've taken a break from some of the streaming shows here for just a couple weeks while we've had Christmas. So during
Merry Christmas break. Happy New Year.
Yes. So I've been watching a lot of movies over the Christmas break and some good ones and some not so good ones.
Oh.
And finally, again, we're also going to talk about what shows we're looking forward to coming up here in 2022. There we go. 2022. And who knows? Maybe we'll even be showcasing them on an upcoming episode of JARP.
Just Another Review Podcast.
That's what it stands for.
Let's get into it. Okay, let's dip into it. Sean, you talked about dipping.
Dipping. Yeah, dip, let's get, dip and dab.
Get the dip it. Dip it.
MCU versus DCCU. That there's a lot of acronyms going on here. So we're talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe versus the DC comic cinematic universe.
Right.
Let's see.
And here's something else I'm gonna throw at us. Or does it matter at all? Is this the year that superhero movies go by the wayside and we are all sick of it? So is it the year that Marvel just keeps its throne? Is it the year that DC takes the throne? Or is it the year that people just get fed up and are done with this superhero garbage.
I'm kind of with the third.
Oh, already
there. I'm not completely done, but I am. I do have a bit of a superhero hangover going on here.
I heard that.
I am a little tired of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm ready for DC to pick it up a little bit, I'm just ready for trends to maybe switch a little bit here, and maybe superhero movies aren't as popular in 2022.
Aren't the be-all and all of all cinematic viewing.
But with that, I mean, we just went, and no spoiler here yet, just went and saw Spider-Man, the latest Spider-Man. What is it? Far From Home, No Home, He's Homeless.
Which is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, Homeless.
Person that's homeless.
Right, right.
Person
and
first.
You say, is this the year that DC, can they knock Marvel? But with the box office numbers that Spider-Man is making, I don't even know if that's possible.
Right. So this is Phase 4. And I guess so. Spider-Man is the anomaly, because that movie, we can both agree that we enjoyed that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The people of the world have enjoyed that movie. But you look at the movies that led up to that in Phase 4, you've got Black Widow, Shang-Chi, The Eternals. I think movies that maybe didn't make, either because of COVID or just not being very good. They didn't make a lot of money. I don't think any of them really stuck with us. Actually, I haven't seen Eternals. Have you seen Eternals?
No, I haven't.
I think it's one of the movies that is holding on. Like, people are continue to see it. It hasn't just dropped off the theaters yet, but overall we'll see. And where does the Disney Plus money come into that? Cause it is going to drop on Disney Plus, this month, and maybe in a few days here.
Oh, well, shit.
We're recording this on January, 9th, 2022. I think it dropped on Disney Plus the next few days here.
Now, yeah, I haven't seen Eternals. I haven't seen Black Widow either. And mainly because I've heard so many bad things about it. And, you know, we've talked about this. Having lives outside of JARP with work and all that, time is of the essence. So I really don't want to spend 2 hours watching something that I ultimately will know I probably won't like.
We're just dads trying to make it in this crazy world.
You know, we are.
It's an interesting perspective of father, of being a parent, and having two young children, both of us, and like prioritizing when we can actually go to the movies. And obviously being able to find time at home to stream something is a lot easier for us. So, you know, we're not definitely the ideal moviegoer that has, you know, as much income as we want, has as much time as we want. So we have to really pick and choose when we can watch those movies. Maybe like a lot of the people that are listening, who also have to pick and choose.
I used to be quite the, I still consider myself a cinephile, but I don't, obviously trek off to the theater as much as I'd like anymore.
This is the whole point. As children growing up together, this is all we would do. This is a weekend. We would hit the cinemas every weekend, if not watching a movie in your basement.
That's right. Definitely. At least a movie a week.
We love movies.
So some of the TV series that Marvel's Phase 4 has also come out with is WandaVision, which we both seen and both enjoyed. Loki, I'm not going to knock it. I just did not continue to watch
it. Best show in 2021.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I enjoyed. It was not bad. And Hawkeye, which I did not care for. So kind of a 50-50.
And did you complete Hawkeye?
No, okay. No, that's your job.
All right. Thank you.
I finished Invasion for you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And the only DC show that I'm aware of for 2022 is The Peacemaker.
Right.
Coming off The Suicide Squad, directed by James Gunn. John Cena played The Peacemaker, and now he has his own show on HBO.
Nice.
But now we're heading into what we can expect at the movie theaters in 2022. We've got Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which was queued up with Spider-Man No Way Home.
Right.
You got Thor, Love and Thunder, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, probably at the end of 2022, as long as it's not delayed again due to COVID. And then in the cinematic 2022, which my notes I see, I said Marvel. How embarrassing. You got The Batman. You got Black Adam, you got The Flash, and you got Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom. That's a lot of DC movie magic coming to us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for Matt Reeves' take on the Batman. The trailers look really cool, really promising, really gritty. Right up my alley for how I like my Batmans. I like my Batmans dirty.
How do you like your Batman, sir?
I like my Batman dirty.
Do you think it'll be as good or better than Christopher Nolan's Batman?
Ooh, that's a hard act to
follow. Is it worth comparing? Is it just enjoy it as... two separate identities.
I think while they're both Batman, I think they both follow sort of different timelines. Like I mentioned earlier in a previous podcast that this Batman coming up is based off the year one comic, and obviously the Nolan's Batman was based off the Dark Knight comic series. Now I'm no comic file, but I believe that those are kind of two different separated
parts of his life,
yeah,
parts of
his, or just different life. Takes on it. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't this say alternate more, Batmans, but right. maybe.
This is more detective Batman, I think. Year one, year two, he's going to be solving. You're going to get more the idea that he's not just a crime fighter, but he's a detective.
Right. Yeah. Using his smarts, helping the police a lot more, like hand in hand, rather than just sort of they're off on their own. He's off on their own. I think. Looks like a bit of teaming up going on here.
We got Catwoman, we got the Penguin, we got the Riddler.
Looks great to me, man. I actually every time I see a trailer for it, I'm kind of hesitant to watch it. Although there is only two trailers out, but I was hesitant to watch the second one because the first one was so good. I'm really excited, and I just kind of want to leave it at that. But I think they've done the trailers well. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I'm hoping it did not spoil too much.
Oh, no. You'll enjoy it.
I'm sure. I know I will. You'll love it.
And The Flash for DC is going to introduce the multiverse, I think, just like how Spider-Man No Way Home did. For Marvel, are you excited about that? You're going to see Michael Keaton's Batman in there?
Yeah, I heard Michael Keaton's coming back. So I guess they'll try and do a similar thing with Spider-Man and the multiverse and bring back alternate versions of Batman's from alternate.
Wait, not that that's a spoiler for Spider-Man No Way Home.
What?
It is a spoiler.
Oh, shit.
Jesus, you weren't going to spoil it.
Well, I didn't say yet on that last
one. Right, of course, okay. And now he has spoiled it.
Shit.
There may be...
Well, we did warn everybody.
Yeah, this is a spoiler.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. This is how much I didn't like Aquaman.
You're completely putting a blinder on it.
Yeah. I haven't heard or seen anything about that one. So
I don't know if there is a trailer out yet, so that maybe that's why you haven't seen it. But it is coming.
It's coming, and we cannot wait for another Aquaman because they're just brilliant, brilliant stories.
So we're both excited about the Batman. I really liked the Suicide with James Gunn, and I'm excited about the Peacemaker, though.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. Hopefully it takes off what James Gunn's done with the Suicide Squad, and it's just fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if this is the year. I just think it's interesting to think that DC could one day be just as popular or even more popular than Marvel Cinematic Universe. But maybe it'll never happen. Maybe because of the time that Marvel took to set their Cinematic Universe up, it'll never be dethroned. But it's fun to think hypothetically. I think it's more likely that we just as a society get sick of all these superhero movies.
I think so too. And I think there's a bit of, like a millennials, Gen X kind of, separation going on here where the younger generation is liking the Marvel stuff. But, we grew up with sort of one-offs. Well, I guess it wasn't a one-off. What did they make? 4 or 5 Superman movies. But I'm thinking more along like Superman the movie, the original one from way back in the late 70s, early 80s. And sort of the Christopher Nolan Batman series, and these are both DC Universe stuff. Now, I was trying to think, in 100 years, and we look back at sort of all movies and blah, 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 that's been made so far, and we look back at sort of these last, our timeline anyways,
versus the multiple timelines.
Right, versus the multiverse. And I think when they look at our multiverse, I think... I don't know. I see movies like I said, Superman, the movie, and Nolan's Dark Knight series, you know, let's say in the next 100 years, holding up more than
everything Marvel's tried to do to like just connect about their movies.
Not maybe not every Marvel movie, but I would say a vast majority of them. So I was trying to think like what Marvel movie could kind of stand on its own through the test of time.
Right.
And us in 100 years go back and rewatch it on its own without all the other 12, 13 parts, you know, and be like, right, okay, that's a good movie that holds itself on its own. I was thinking maybe Iron Man 1.
I think Black Panther. I think potentially Endgame and Infinity War, though maybe that's only works really in context of all the other ones.
But again, exactly. And that's what, I'm not saying they're not good movies, yeah, but I'm saying they take so much setup that you couldn't just, in 100 years, someone who doesn't know anything about Marvel couldn't throw on Endgame and be like, okay, I get it. They'd have to go back and watch Infinity War. They'd have to go back and watch Avengers 2, 3, 5, 25.
I think it benefits 100%, but I wonder, yeah, it'd be very hard to.
But 100, okay, yeah, yeah. And again, I'm not, I'm just kind of stating it, you know, I think in 100 years from now, if someone went back and watched Superman, the movie, it would hold up a lot more and tell a better story on its own.
Than Black Widow.
Definitely than Black Widow. Really, you think Black Panther, you put it that much on a pedestal, eh?
I enjoyed the movie. I liked the movie. I think our culture has, and I think for good reason. It's a really good combination of some real world issues and the superhero guys. But I think overall, I think people will look back at things like Black Panther and go, "This is timeless," and but also at the same time, really marks something in our in our place as movie making culture and all that kind of stuff.
Right. I'll agree. Maybe that, you know, the leading African American superhero, you know, was groundbreaking and all that. But I think from a movie itself, I don't know. I wasn't sold too much on Black Panther as a
purely entertaining vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Well, everyone can have their own opinion. That's the great thing about.
And we all know my opinion sucks balls.
Let's look at Oscars.
Yeah, let's look at good movies.
Let's look at.
Let's stop talking about Marvel movies.
Let's look at Oscars. Obviously, we already let you guys know we're recording this January 9th, so we're a little bit further away from the Oscars.
Okay, I'm going to stop you here. This is why I think I'm jaded a little bit because, you know, before, I would say 5 years ago, I'd be all about Marvel. They're awesome movies, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, hey, let's just move on. So. I'm just saying, you know, I really...
It's a good example of how you're feeling in general about superhero movies.
I would think so. A little bit, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with Marvel. I really do think, for the most part, they're well-crafted movies. They're smart.
Probably to the point of where you don't
like them. Yeah, I think I'm just a little hungover. So I think I'm just a little biased right now. So I'm trying to be non, but...
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
I'm a little jaded.
Your opinion is valid. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about Oscars or the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Let's move on.
Okay. Power of the Dog. It's on the Netflix. We both really enjoyed that movie. Recommend everyone checking that out. I think that potentially has the ability to do like a sweep at this year's Oscars. Sometimes there are the movies that just kind of take all the nominations and all the awards. Other times there's movies like that Martin Scorsese Netflix movie that's nominated for a bunch but doesn't win anything. What was that one with Robert De Niro? What was the one that got...
The Irishman?
The Irishman got all the nominations but won nothing. It could be that too, but I what would you think? If Power of the Dog was going to win an Oscar, what would it win for, Sean?
Best Supporting Actor. Whoa. For... what's his face?
Good old what's his
name? Good old, he's got a really freaky Cody Smith Mephee.
Right, who plays kind of Kirsten Dunst's son.
Yeah, I forget his name.
In the movie.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And Benedict
Cumberbatch.
He was amazing.
He was amazing.
Just very commanding on screen in this movie, so...
I'm gonna say it's gonna be a best director win, Jane Campion. I think she's gonna win best director. That's my It's my recommendation.
Yeah, I wish I could say it's going to sweep because I freaking love this movie. If I was to give it a score, I think I gave it 9.5 out of 10.
Ooh.
Someone asked me to actually score it. I gave it that. Definitely my favorite movie of 2021. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since I watched it a week ago. Yeah, it's a thinker,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you're like, how much did that kid know what he was doing? And
yeah.
How much is it just circumstance? And how much did he just like have control of the whole movie the whole time? Because so what's his first name there? What's our best supporting record? What's the first name? What's his first
Cody.
Name? Cody. So Cody, he plays this very, like, it's almost like right away he comes across as the victim. Like throughout, you know, spoilers for obviously Power of the Dog here, Cody's character comes across as kind of someone being victimized pretty much the whole first half, the majority of the film. But then by the end, the last few scenes of the movie, you're like, wait a second. Is this kid just smarter than everyone? Did he freaking have everything under control the whole time? That's kind of the biggest thing that just kind of that feeling just left with me and went, it's a movie that you need to now watch it all over again, just with that perspective.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to go back and rewatch it as soon as it was over to go back and look at what did I miss? What little things and clues and hints were there along the way? And also I wanted to go back and look at spoiler warning. Like when Peter, who's played by Cody Smith-Maffei here, the young Peter, when he actually decided to make the choice, I'll leave it at that. And yeah, was it right near the end when it's so hard to talk about it without completely spoiling.
Well, you did say spoiler many times.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and just talk
all
about
right.
it. All right,
yeah,
okay. Earmuffs for anyone. when Peter decided,
but if you earmuffs a podcast, you're not getting anything out of it. So yeah. I might as well.
When Peter decided to give Phil the tainted anthrax rawhide, like was he just hanging on to, you know, as a safety net? Did he have that in the plan the whole time when he actually went out and harvested? I don't know a better word to say.
He separately seeked out a sick cow so he could get.
Did he seek it out or did he just stumble upon it?
I don't know, man.
He did have gloves on him though.
Yeah,
so.
He knew exactly what he was doing. He was informed, and I mean, here's that he's being trained as a doctor. So
yeah.
Again, like here's these little clues that the film is giving us throughout, but we keep on thinking that he's the victim, that he's the, you know, that if something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen to Cody. Actually,
yeah.
Cody's probably the most intelligent person in this film. You know, Cody's character, Peter. But yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I still feel, I still feel that Peter and his mom Rose were still victims the whole time, but Peter was just finally doing something about it. But it's funny that he decided to do something about it when things started to sort of
get better for him.
Right. So you're like, okay, these guys have finally decided to work past their differences.
Get better for him, but not get better for his mom. So he
that's
could
right.
see
yeah,
that
no,
his,
yeah,
mom
his mom was just
suffering.
Oh yeah.
And then, so he made the decision not selfish, made the decision for his mom that he needed to get rid of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, character. And I think that's what they had a strong bond. Things were going well, and then when they came back from their little camping adventure, she had given the hides to the Aboriginals, and Phil Benedict Cumberbatch just lost his shit. Benedict Cumberbatch. Cucumbers. The cucumber man was going to lose his shit on his mom.
I love the Goonies.
And yeah, so I think what Peter finally decided was like, okay, well, if I don't do something here, this guy's going to probably beat my mom or take her to another level that, you know, she hasn't been at yet. You've already drove her to drink. She's never drank in her life. And now she's a raging alcoholic because of the mental torment that this guy bestows upon her.
I think there's a good enough argument to say that Peter knew the whole time, because right away, Benedict
Cucumber
Butch, his character Phil, is like completely cruel to Peter and his mom. And so like you, in the start of the film at the restaurant. So I think, you know, right away, Peter's setting it up. He knows. And I think the only reason his predicament is getting better because Peter himself is the better man. Peter's letting things go. He, you know, he sees these characters and he can see how he can manipulate them to just to, but his mom can't. And so he's made his
decision. That's just it. Yeah. I'm trying to think like, was Peter trying to bond with Phil or was it part of his plan the whole time? You know what I mean? I'm going
to
go back.
I think he knew how to placate Phil and he knew how to just like, you know,
he knew how to what?
Placate. Like he knew placate? How to, like Phil was trying to push Peter's buttons and Peter understood that. And so he was able to respond in a way that kind of let the air out of Phil's tires so they could actually form a relationship. To me, it was like Peter was manipulating Phil the whole time. Mm. Despite the fact that Phil being the alpha male thinking he was in charge the whole time, but it was actually Peter all along.
Yeah. Again, super smart movie, really well crafted, just amazing, man.
Yeah. So go watch Power of the Dog before it becomes 2021's best film of the year.
Oh, and the soundtrack too. Amazing. On Apple Music, you can download it and listen to the score. It's fantastic.
Do you watch the Oscars every year?
I used to. I used to be all about the Oscars. You know, it was my dream to win one year, and then just something started to change. They got longer. They got more boring. You know, Billy Crystal stopped doing it, and it just. Also, and it started becoming kind of political and just they weren't fun to watch anymore. It was more like you're just dragging your heels trying to get through the whole ceremony so that you can see who wins best actress, best actor, and best picture. So now I certainly like to pay attention to the Oscars, but I'm not all geared up to have Oscar parties and all that shit anymore. I don't know.
They still mean something for us, right?
For sure.
We still acknowledge a movie by how well it does at the Oscars. But yeah, I think as 90s kids, Billy Crystal was kind of like our heyday. Like I remember watching a Billy Crystal hosted Oscars and just being like in awe of just his showmanship when he came out singing or the fact that he could like insert himself, you know, in when they'd show aspects of Jerry Maguire and suddenly he's in that change room scene as well.
Yeah, his introductions were always epic, whether it was him, you know, doing like a musical theater rendition of all the best pictures or like you said, they went out and filmed little segments and stuff like that. But it was always fun. It was always light. It was never politically driven, you know, and he'd always just make you laugh and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you think, and now that's all common with social media that you can just go insert you reacting to another someone else's video or someone else's image. But yeah, I think Billy Crystal created the TikTok.
Billy Crystal created the TikTok?
Yeah, I think TikTok's inspired by those Billy Crystal hosting segments.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, so
who's going to host this year? Any word? Wasn't Tom Holland trying to...
I think there was some sort of campaign to get Spider-Man
nominated.
Right,
he was
nominated.
Just trying to bid himself.
Yeah. Right. So there hasn't been a host for at least 2 years, I think. And it obviously last year, 2020s, because of COVID, it was quite a smaller ceremony. So I assume with Omicron, it'll be something similar.
Yeah, like we were discussing earlier, the Golden Globes aren't even being televised. They're just, or even live streamed. I mean, it's going to happen in the background. It's sort of like a private event. And you'll only find out once someone has won and they sort of post it on the internet. So
right. And there's issues with Golden Globes more than just COVID.
Oh, but right. Yeah, you were saying there's some sort of
backlash going on. With stupid Golden
Globes. We don't
want
to talk about that.
But yes, it'd be interesting to see what they do with the Oscar televised ceremonies. If everyone will just be on Zoom or if they'll actually have, be able to get people together. Most likely, everyone gets a rapid test and goes out and has a big party.
Yeah, hopefully get their brains scraped and everything's good.
any other guesses, predictions for the Oscars?
I haven't watched enough, I think, of what we would quote unquote call the Oscar-worthy movies. Obviously, I've seen Power of the Dog. I've seen Dune. I don't have much desire to watch these musical, you know, ones like Tick, Tick, Boom.
It's on Netflix, man. Go watch it.
Again, yeah.
Andrew Garfield. I might. It's good.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe,
West Side Story is still in the theaters.
Yeah, let's go watch that.
Maybe. You've got a note here. You know, I touched base on how the Oscars used to be fun to watch, and now they just kind of went downhill, and now it's just a bunch of political mumbo jumbo. Like, it's just long. But you've got a note here, something about Jeff Bridges winning in 2009.
So, when we're looking back at the golden, you know, watching Oscars over the years, I've usually watched it every year. Sometimes it's an Oscar party. Sometimes I just record it and zoom through it really quickly to catch the highlights. But for me, the biggest, like a big thing that stuck out for me where I was like, oh God, I can't watch this anymore, was around that 2009, 2010 period where they really spent a lot of time praising each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just felt like, again, movie stars are already kind of one step removed from the average Joe like you and I.
Yeah.
And so to watch something of people I don't really know, but kind of admire, you know, just talk really well about each other, just seems very like, it just doesn't seem genuine. I just feel disconnected from it. And at a certain point, I'm like, this is not entertaining to me. I feel like this should be just done in the privacy of their own.
Didn't like Tom ceremony. Middleton, the guy that played Loki. Yeah, didn't he Tom do Middleton. Something like that? He got a Golden Globes and he got up and he basically like patted himself on the back for his philanthropy and shit like that. I don't know, but like everyone kind of like side-eyed him. He was just like, you know, if it wasn't for us actors to help people, you know, escape and remove, I don't know, but it was just kind of like, I think there's like a meme of Christian Slater giving him like a side eye or something like
what
that.
What ceremony was that?
Golden Globes.
Oh, Golden Globes.
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. That's why Ricky Gervais needs to be there and put everyone in their place.
Oh, you gotta love that. You gotta love that.
I'll never do this again until, of course, I do it again. Yeah. I think in general, I got a couple predictions. I haven't seen it, but I am just guessing Belfast will win Best Picture.
And why do you think that? Just because Kenneth Branagh?
It feels like Oscar bait. Like when if you look at the trailer, you're like, oh, this, you know. Growing up in, I don't know when it's trying to take place. I would say either like around the World Wars eras, in somewhere in, obviously in Ireland, with black in black and white. Just feels very Oscar-ish.
I hear you on that, but I also feel like he's a couple years too late on that. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Oh my God.
Buddy Holly did it a couple years ago.
See, this is why you should write
Steven
notes.
Spielberg did it for the Nazi movie.
No, the Mexican guy.
The Mexican guy.
Yeah, you know his name.
The Mexican guy. This is where Sean goes on internet movie database and looks something up. He types Mexican guy and Google knows what he's talking about. You're talking about the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio when he's trapped in a bear? You're talking about the movie...
Yes, I'm talking about Alfonso Cuarón.
Okay, are you talking about the...
I'm talking about his Roma. That's the movie I was talking about. That's the black and white Roma.
Well, first of all, that was, I think, more of a seen as an international movie versus a...
Okay, for sure. But I think he's missing the mark. You know, Schindler's List did it. Years and years and years ago. I don't know. I just think the minute
you think
have a kind of a high profile movie in black and white, it just kind of screams, please nominate me for an Oscar.
Please nominate.
Okay,
my movie's in black and white.
I haven't seen, I don't know, like I said, I've probably only seen maybe 40% of what I imagine is probably going to be nominated, but I'm hoping Netflix brings home the best picture with Power of the Dog.
All right, let's cross our fingers.
I'm hoping. Do I think that's going to happen? I'm not sure. I think there's some sort of reluctance. I think there's some hesitation. I'll just use a different word.
Oh, yeah.
To give
I'm reluctant to
Netflix
use
that That this could be the year. Best Picture
this
award.
Could be the year.
Hopefully.
You know, that the streaming services keep on trying to get that Oscar.
Get that Oscar.
Give me that Oscar.
Best Actor. I see you've got a bit of a hard-on for Will Smith.
I think it's his year.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't seen King Richard. I can't even get myself together to go to the theaters only to watch Spider-Man. No, I haven't seen King Richard. I will definitely see it one day. I just feel like this is his year, unless Denzel Washington takes it for The Tragedy of Macbeth, which we will be able to see pretty quick here because it's coming on Apple Plus. That's Disney Plus, Apple TV. So we can stream it at home in the comfort of our own home. But yeah, I think it's Will Smith's year. I think it is. And this is the point, you know.
I think he complains too much, or his wife does.
You've talked about this. I don't participate in this type of conversation. Mm. I'm gonna say Encanto is gonna win animated feature.
Okay. I'm just kidding. I'm sure it's good, but like I said, we scrubbed through the Golden Globes, and Mitchell's versus the Machines was not nominated.
So you're upset.
I am upset. I hope the Oscars nominates that one because I thought it was really good. It was a really, you know, a different take on a family animated feature, a little bit different than what Disney does. And it was a nice change of pace.
But you haven't seen Encanto, so you don't even know yet.
Well, I already said they hadn't seen it, but whatever. I'm sure it's
good. Get your family around the TV and watch Encanto.
Okay.
And then watch it again and again and again. And you're... Girls.
That's kind of what happens, eh? When they find a movie they like, they put it on.
I think
repeat.
We've seen it probably about 10 or 15 times.
Oh, shit. It must be good.
Kristen Stewart for Spencer, Lady Di. I figure this might be her year as well. And Rags to Riches for Kristen Stewart. Those are my top predictions other than Best Original Screenplay, Licorice Pizza, Best Adapted Screenplay, The Power of the Dog. Best Cinematography, I think Dune, that's the one that Dune will get, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, Dune will win something as far as cinematography, maybe editing and visual effects, quite possibly.
So. Yeah, well, those are Oscar predictions.
I think so, yeah. I wish I had more picks for you, but like I said, I haven't seen enough of them. But, you know, I have seen Power of the Dog. I did watch...
Have you seen Power of the Dog?
Spoiler warning.
Yeah, okay.
Spoiler warning.
Oh, another one. Another spoiler warning.
Yeah, I did watch Don't Look Up the other night. Adam McKay's new one with DiCaprio and J-Law.
Yeah.
Not that great. It was okay. Okay, at best.
The ending when they're all sitting around the table, that got me.
You started to cry?
I don't know if I started to cry, but I just kind of got like all fucked up about it. Like that's the one part where I'm just like, yeah, like that's the kind of weird conversation that you would have moments before you were going to die.
I guess so. I think what I took from that.
Spoiler warning.
What I took from that was what I liked at that last scene was, you know, the people that were important to them were around the table and, you know, rather than, you know, screaming for dear life for something that was completely out of their control. You know, they just sort of put on their best game faces and decided to just have a regular, lovely, jovial family dinner as their last thing. So I quite liked that. I wouldn't say jovial, but it was lovely. But you know what I mean. I don't know.
They were doing their best to kind of normalize it, which I really got the sense of. But at the same time, it was like
you could see a bit of the anxiety little moments. Their hands were shaking, Well, at least it was a quick death, right? Did you watch to the end of the credits?
Yeah, with Meryl Streep there,
and
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, then there's even a further one at the very, very end of Jonah Hill.
Yes, Jonah Hill.
He kind of comes out of the rubble. Yeah. He's like live streaming to himself. He's like, yo, what up? I'm the last guy on Earth. Hit that subscribe button. I really liked how they poked fun at Apple in that movie. I enjoyed that. Yeah, it made them seem like the stupid kind of just, I don't know what to say. They're not a stupid corp, but just like they're on their own agenda kind of thing. I don't know.
Was that Amazon or Apple or was that just all multimedia conglomerates?
Yeah, I think it was kind of supposed to be like, it was totally supposed to be Apple and sort of like the leader. What's his name? I don't know. In sort of the eccentric, you know,
right. who kind of ran the world, the 1%.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's really running this show here.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I guess you could sum it all up to be sort of, yeah, the multimedia powerhouses, but pretty funny stuff. So. But not enough to
like the film.
Nope, not enough to make me want to go back and rewatch it. Like I said, there were some funny parts, but a little too few, too far between.
Let's do a temperature check.
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Sounds good. You talked about Station 11, kind of a show that was under our radar that kind of came out of nowhere. We both just kind of started watching it. We didn't get a chance to write it or really deep dive it in one of our... fuck this.
Oh, let's start that again.
Yeah. Temperature check.
Why don't you do it?
No, I'll do it. I can do it. Russ is laughing
because I'm totally giving up.
No, I haven't given up. Temperature check here.
I wish I had notes here to follow.
This is when you need notes. Oh, I thought I could do this.
Man.
Station 11. A great show that me and Mr. Russell are watching. Did not sneak into a review yet, so we're gonna sneak it in now.
We're gonna sneak it in. Yeah, created by Patrick Somerville. It's on the HBO Max. Really cool show. Super original. Based on a book. I haven't read the book.
No.
I assume you haven't read the book since you don't read books.
You know, I don't read a word.
You read manuals.
I read user manuals.
User manuals. You're a big fan of the user manual.
Big fan. Oh, my old Sony Trinitron TV had the greatest user manual I've ever read.
Do you go back to it at time to time?
I do. Sometimes when I need a good cry, I'll go back and read my Trinitron.
Do you still have the Trinitron?
No.
But you have the manual. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. It's one of those great epic novels that you just can't let go.
I understand. I don't actually. The Station 11 stars Mackenzie Davis. You may recognize her from Halt and Catch Fire. At least that's where I recognize her from.
Is that the main girl? I don't know any of the actors' names other than Himesh Patel.
That is the main girl.
Okay, yes, she was also
in the Terminator.
Terminator. She was a Terminator, and I think that was one of her breakout roles.
Quite possibly on the film film side, yes. But Halt and Catch Fire, I think a little bit before Terminator Dark Fate. And Matilda Lawler, who plays young Kirsten, is in as well. She's amazing. Himesh Patel and Nabhan Rizwan?
I don't know.
Who played Jeevan and Frank in the show are amazing. Lori Petty's in it. You may recognize Lori Petty from such films as Tank Girl or League of Their Own.
And the love interest of Point Break, of Keanu Reeves in Point Break. Can you believe that?
What?
Yeah. Can you believe that? She was the love interest of Keanu Reeves in Point Break.
Sure.
Why
not?
Look at...
Don't.
What do you mean?
I mean, okay, do it. Do it then. Fine. Yeah. Okay.
Time.
Yeah.
Time.
Time
ticks
sucks,
on. Time sucks.
Look at us. We don't look the same.
No. I'm certainly not the...
We can't all be Keanu Reeves.
The supporting...
Or Jennifer Lopez or Nicole Kidman.
The supporting male actor that I used to be. Now yeah. I'm...
I think it's the same as like a Tom Cruise kind of thing. Like, you know, when Tom Cruise redoes Top Gun, he can't really bring back his counterparts because they didn't all age as well as... They don't got that Scientology. Scientology?
Yeah, they don't eat placenta like Tom does, right?
They don't have that lucky gene. You know, it's all, you know, you never know. You never know how you're going to turn out.
I like the guy that plays Jeevan in this show.
Yes.
Himesh Patel. I saw he got a small role in Don't Look Up as well. So he's obviously turning some heads in Hollywood and stuff like that. So yeah, I really...
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's really good. Really, really good.
It's such a good movie. It's such a good show, Station 11. You can't really predict anything, though everyone, like all the characters, feel super lived in. It's super authentic and genuine. I don't know. And there is at least two episodes, episode one and the more recent episode 9, that just like got to my feels, man. I got super sad. And I got super sad with episode 9. It was very overwhelming. And episode one, when just the beginning of the pandemic hitting, it just like that just too close to home, man. Obviously, they created the pilot before March 2020, so they had no idea COVID was going to exist. But then they had to film the rest of the season in COVID and actually came up to Canada and filmed, I think, the rest of the season halfway through leaving the States. It seemed like a lot of productions moved up to Canada during COVID.
And I find that funny because I feel like we've got the more stricter restrictions.
Maybe that's why things feel safer, I guess, maybe.
You think they move for a sense of safety?
Maybe.
Yeah. I guess, who knows, right?
Just how governments are dealing with COVID just worked better for the film productions. Overall, I would recommend people watching this. Have you watching the show? Have you watched everything? Have you watched episode 9?
Yeah, I'm all caught. Yep. No, I was thinking of Yellow Jackets, and there's one out today that I haven't watched yet, or whatever.
Today being Sunday.
I totally caught up. I saw the first episode. I really liked it. Watched the second one. Wasn't too sure, and then kept going, and I was like, wow, this show feels smart.
Right.
Like, I wasn't so sure at first because it was kind of, and then, you know, about three or four, it's really hopping around a lot. You know, you're going not forward in time, but you're going in present day, then a lot, you're going a lot back to pre-pandemic, then you're going kind of early pandemic, then, the timeline jumps around quite a bit is what I'm getting at. And at first I wasn't quite sure if it was messy, but now that we're at 9 episodes in, it just feels a lot smarter.
Yes.
Than I think I originally gave it credit for.
The past is really informing the current. Yeah.
And it's a really cool show, and I'll totally give it there too. Give it to you there too on the feels. Definitely building up lots of characters and character relations. And then when things don't go your way, you get upset.
I think it's a very it's respecting the audience a little bit too. Like, it's sensitive to the audience as well. It's very overwhelming. In parts because of all the emotion and the things that are happening, this real life energy that's happening. But there's also like things like the wolf attack in one of the most recent episodes. There's a wolf attack, but you know, this is HBO. I would assume they have the money to show us a wolf, but they don't. They're very kind to us in a way, kind to the viewer. It doesn't make it any less impactful, the fact that there's a wolf attack. They didn't have to have a CGI wolf rip somebody apart, like the Yellow Jackets, for example, who kind of showed less than they implied. But really, I feel like I'm in good hands with Patrick Somerville and all the people that are making Station 11. But I don't think they're holding back either.
No, there's some cool things happened. We got two episodes of Tobias from Arrested Development.
We did.
It was great. Gil was his name in the show. Yeah.
Gil Faison.
Yeah. And spoiler alert, he got blown to bits by a kid wearing a landmine. That was kind of cool. I guess I'm trying to... No, I guess it's... I was going to have us kind of deep dive into the prophet's sort of motives here, but I think that's a little too much of an in-depth conversation to have on the podcast here. But
I like, because, you know, throughout the show's called Station 11. It's within the show, it's based on a comic book or a graphic novel called Station 11. There's really, you know, it was just released kind of based on this this character who wasn't doing it to get famous or anything like that, but she released a graphic novel. There's only so many additions to it. Basically, the show follows kind of two children growing up in a pandemic, post-pandemic, that both had a copy of this, and they both interpret this piece of work differently. And they both kind of approach their life and go forward with this literature in a completely different way. But there seems to be like...
So you think that's where the prophet's motives have come from, through his interpretation of the Station 11 comic when he was a kid?
Yes. Hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think, and based on his real life experiences and using this book, the Station 11 graphic novel, he was interpret how he was going to go forward in his life, and vice versa. You know, Mackenzie Davis's character, how she approached, Kirsten approached her life as well. And maybe, you know, looked at things a little bit less seriously and more you know, for her, it was more of like, it was art. It was, it influenced how she approached life artistically. Where with him, it approached like how we kind of saw the world and treated other individuals.
He almost took it like religion a little bit, eh? It's almost like his Bible.
Right.
Whereas her, it's just a story.
Yeah. And I think maybe smarter guys could probably make a lot of connections with the idea of the Station 11 graphic novel to the Bible. And, you know, and obviously this is the dawn of a new civilization too. So you're seeing all these guys post pandemic, in this new world. And, so when, in the recent episodes, we're seeing a couple, they had to age up some actors because there's kind of like, they're seeing like this, the same actors 10 or 15,
but you know what they didn't do?
What?
Change their voices.
Oh, as we grow older, our voices change.
I don't think so at all. Which I'm glad that they didn't, because
oh, you're saying sometimes they do. Oh, they talk just like this now.
Yeah, no, like let's look at Matrix Resurrections, the piece of shit movie that is, oh, where they brought in Jada Pinkett Smith to play herself.
Oh man,
60 years. No. I'm just saying, but their take on her being older was put old age makeup on her and have her talk like this. I'm sorry, but my parents are in their 70s now and they don't talk like this.
Why? Well,
they just talk regular. And that's right. What I liked about Station 11. They just aged the people, but they didn't make them talk like I'm old now.
Okay, a couple things with Matrix. I did not see the movie, but can you quickly explain to me why Jada aged that much and then, but Keanu Reeves' character did not?
Because he died and then he was brought back to life and he was jacked.
Second coming.
Yeah, and he was jacked into the Matrix, where they sort of feed you full of vitamins and shit like that. And Jada Pinkett was not.
Keanu Reeves died at the end of Matrix 3?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should watch Matrix 3 again. Okay. Yeah. Talking about aging up again, back to Station 11.
Yeah.
A couple of characters, male characters, they have to age up. Actually, more than a couple. They do it for Jeevan's character as well. They give them very big beards.
Right. It's like just, I think it's just a cheap way of doing passage of time.
Like, and how do you tell
post-apocalyptic,
this male actor is older? Well, because he has a very big beard.
Yeah. How can you tell that he's gone under some harsh times? Well, he's unkept.
Question for you. We both of us have a little stubble on and we've got some well-trimmed beards. But if you were, this is post-apocalypse, and the majority of the population is dead and you're kind of just trying to bring back civility, would you actually, in order to control that a little bit more, to take control of your life, would you probably be clean shaven or would you let your beard grow like a wild man in the middle of the middle of the forest?
I'd probably let it grow like a wild man, you know, especially with being post-apocalyptic, who knows what kind of battery power and stuff there is. So I'd have
You don't have to shave with batteries.
No, but I hate shaving with a straight edge and I have very sensitive skin, so.
Okay, interesting.
No, I would probably opt to not shave.
See, I feel like I would shave because I'd be trying to get back to something that we lost and try to have some sort of normalcy, I think.
I'm all about being a bushman.
All right. Even though would you live in the history of what do they call that? The Museum of History? Would you live at the airport or would you live in the bush?
Ooh.
Where would you live? If you were a character in Station 11?
That's a hard one. Probably, I'd be for society with the Museum of...
But you'd have a big bushman beard.
Yeah.
Museum of...
Yeah, but I'd look like shit.
Okay, so that was a movie we never knew existed from our last episode.
A show. It was not a movie.
Jesus
It's Christ. A show. No, he's not in it either.
I'm sorry, everybody, but maybe he is. Maybe that's Kirsten.
We don't know.
Shows that we did talk about before were Yellow Jackets and Hawkeye. Sean, do you have any? Yellow Jackets is still going on. I thought by the time we did this episode, Yellow Jackets would be concluded. But
I think we got two more. I think episode 9 today, and it seems like most shows are wrapping up in 10 episodes here. So I imagine we've got two more.
Oh, again, we're enjoying it so far.
I am. It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know what to say other than it's interesting.
No.
We're not getting too many answers yet, but I feel like we're very close. And but I also feel we're going to be cheated a little bit.
Yeah,
and
there's going to be a season two.
Yeah, the stuff that we saw in episode one that kind of dragged us in, I don't think we're going to get any answers for that stuff. So like,
the
sort of mini cult that they have out in the wild wearing, you know, furs and pelts and stuff like
that. Very far away from that.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see any of that shit in this season one. So unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wish they would have touched on it a little bit. Who knows? Again, we still have two. By the time that this season wraps up, they'll just sprinkle it in a little bit.
They're
more.
They're going to tease it.
Yeah, I think
something's going to get a little tribal for sure.
Yeah.
But it definitely feels like they're very far away from going that full out.
To giving us some explanations on some of the earlier stuff we saw. Some weird stuff going on. Well, like in Yellow Jackets, you know, the girl that sleepwalks and eats dirt.
Yeah, I mean, crazy.
What's that all about?
I think it's gonna
and the symbols in the woods. Yeah. And
yeah, I think this is gonna become more supernatural.
I think so too. There's something else out there in the woods.
I got the one thing I want to talk about. Okay, so in Yellow Jackets, when we've watched episode one. One of the things that we wanted to predict was who was going to die. Because there's these group of soccer players that go, you know, get plane crash, blah, 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 blah. But by the time we see who gets rescued, it only feels like a small percentage of them are actually being rescued. Within how many episodes we've seen, I can't remember, 7, 8. We've seen, besides the actual initial plane crash, there hasn't been that many characters who have died since the plane crash.
Right.
There's still probably, I don't know, a good 12, 15 actors still surviving.
Yeah, that's the thing. With episode one, they teased us a bit. We thought we were going to get a lot more carnage than we've gotten.
Right. It looked like there's maybe only six survivors, which because they're going back to the present day as well and showing like some older versions. And there's really only maybe four or five of those guys. So we're like, okay, well, who's going to die here? One of our predictions right away was that one of the characters was going to die, Ella Purnell, who plays teen Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie. And
Jackie was going to die. We thought, oh, we're being clever. And the show is definitely telling us that Jackie did not come back.
We know Jackie has died.
We don't know Jackie has died. That's the thing. We know Jackie did not come back.
Oh.
So now my prediction is that Jackie is not dead.
You think that the whole parents, that they were just celebrating what was Jackie.
The parents believe there are characters in the show that think Jackie are dead. But I think
okay, I see.
But I think Shauna and Taisha, they know something.
The general public thinks Jackie's dead.
Right.
And those that were stranded with Jackie know something different.
And I think maybe that will be another cliffhanger at the end of the season is maybe we'll see old Jackie. Because at this point, the show has nothing but laid breadcrumbs that Jackie's dead. But maybe, in fact, Jackie is alive. And maybe she's the one that's kind of blackmailing them on now. Like when they think of like who's doing, because now you're seeing present day, you're seeing someone knows something. And someone's obviously wanting to hurt these older girls that survived this plane crash. Why? Well, maybe because it's Jackie and Jackie's back and they left Jackie there.
Maybe, yeah.
So that's my prediction now with Yellow Jackets. We'll see how it goes.
Hmm. Well, we know that What's-Her-Face's boyfriend is somehow involved. He was hiding in her closet and he had sprinkles on him that from the...
Sprinkle sparkles.
From the department store fiasco.
Right. So we know he is...
He has something to do with something. Yeah. In the last episode, not today's, but the last one ended with... She was supposed to go away for the weekend with him, but then found out that he's somebody he's not and showed up at his door and said, you know, who the fuck are you? And then boom.
I thought because there's teen Travis and Travis made it out originally when we had thought it was just going to be girls that made it out. Actually, Travis did make it out too. But unfortunately, he is in the present day. His character commits suicide or is killed. But there's also his brother, Javi. And I thought, well, is this Javi just older and she doesn't recognize him? But I don't think it is Javi. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe he's connected to Javi. Maybe there's something else going on here. I'm not sure. Big mystery.
Good show.
I'm
so glad I picked it.
Yes. And did you pick it?
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Yellow Jackets and Lord of the Flies we did.
Oh, that's right. That was good. Good job, Sean.
You're welcome.
Big pat on the back for you. Finally, Hawkeye, the show that you did not see that I saw.
You're on your own on this one.
Yeah, well, thank you. I just thought, I mean, I don't have to get into it too much other than the fact that we spent some time together this holiday season. We went for a little sledding adventure with some buddies. And one of our close friends, Matt, shout out to Matt.
Matt.
He mentioned that he didn't agree with our take on the first episode. On
I heard
Hawkeye.
A couple. Yeah, he quite liked Hawkeye.
Yeah,
he
appreciated
I think
that it was more
me in the balls.
What?
Actually, after he kicked me in the nuts
while we were sledding.
Mm-hmm.
He said I didn't like your take.
I didn't like
Hawkeye,
your take,
and
he
kicked
and
he you
was
in the
a
balls.
Kia. And
he even said a kia when he did it.
Even said a kia.
How are your balls now?
I've been limping for a couple weeks
because of your balls.
It got infected.
Wait a second. It spread to your legs. Your ball infection?
And my lungs.
Oh, Sean, is this it for you?
Sean's dead because Matt hi-yawed him in the balls.
God rest. Sean?
The more you know.
Yeah, don't kick your friends in the balls, people.
Don't kick your friends in
the
balls.
Or he'll end up like this.
Or they might get a nasty infection.
Sean's still alive. He's fine. Matt disagreed with our take on Hawkeye. And I, you know what? I'm going to double down and say, Matt, you're stupid. Hawkeye was not good. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, you've continued on. So
yeah.
Okay. Matt, I do not think you are stupid.
I think you're stupid, Matt. let's look forward to 2022. Harsh. What are the shows that you're looking forward to, Sean?
Shows I'm looking Euphoria season 2.
It's dropping tonight, buddies.
Yo,
episode 1, season 2.
Yeah, I wonder. Excited. I might just wait and you know, stack up. No,
stack
no,
them
no.
Up.
Just stack them up a little bit.
You want to binge it?
I might want
to. Give it
to
me
yeah,
all at
it's
once.
So good. It was. I really enjoyed it. The editing and the kinetic energy of that show and stuff. It's really cool. Really different.
Love the finale. I love the season 1 finale.
I didn't like the follow-ups though. You know, the two subsequent ones.
Because it's COVID, we're just trying to do something.
I think
you gotta take it for what it is. It's just a little acting schmacting exercise.
I'm looking at your list here that you've got. Pam and Tommy, I'm actually looking forward to that.
It's gonna go on Disney Plus. I was worried that we
shut
weren't
up,
gonna get
are you
it.
Serious?
Yeah, well not the Disney Plus family side, but the Disney Plus like stars side.
Right.
But Pam and Tommy, it'll be on Disney Plus in the Canada.
There's a Hulu, isn't it? Hulu?
Yeah. And we don't got no Hulu in Canada.
No, we don't got no Hulu. Sometimes Hulu.
Y'all talk kind of funny in Canada.
And Station 11 was a Paramount production, which actually moved over to HBO Max or Max.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's production companies, then there's the streaming rights. I mean, it's all different. It's all.
Shows looking forward to Euphoria season 2, Pam and Tommy.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You guess?
Well, I don't know. We haven't seen really
anything. Have you been watching Boba Fett?
No. I want to go back and watch The Mandalorian first.
All right.
You said it's something I should do.
I don't think it's I don't think it's mandatory, but I would recommend it, yeah.
And you guys like it so much, I feel like I should go back and it's not that I hated The Mandalorian. It just didn't
click with you at the time.
Yeah. So I'll go back and I'll give it another go.
Take your time with it.
Yeah.
Or don't binge it.
Mm. I don't know anything about the Lord of the Rings, but I heard it's
so
coming.
There's this Tolkien guy.
But I don't know any details about the show.
The new show, yeah.
So is it going to just follow the books in an elongated way, or are we getting some sort of new content here?
You know what? I'm more excited about it than knowledgeable about it. I think, and now it's recorded, so now I'm going to look like an idiot. I think it's more based on years before what we've seen by the Peter Jackson on the movies. I think it's more about the book that Tolkien wrote about the similarity, whatever that book was called that Tolkien wrote. But feel free to correct me. Give us let us know on Instagram at
jarp_podcast
or email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com or let us know in the comments of Apple Podcast how stupid and wrong I am. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's before Bilbo Baggins. It's a prequel, but no matter what, I'm sure it'll be. A lot of money's gone into it, so I'm sure it's going to be pretty interesting, no matter what.
Raised by Wolves season 2. I know you really enjoyed that. I found the lead android quite annoying, so I'll watch season 2 with the hopes that she kicks the bucket.
She will not kick the bucket. 100% no. She will not die.
Oh, I hope she dies. Oh, the floating snake comes back in. Now, do you think there's a tie-in between... Do you think it's just because it's the Ridley Scott that he gave it that Aliens flavor? Or do you think that Raised by Wolves... Universe? Yeah, lives within the Alien, Prometheus... what else is tied into?
See, I'm the Predator? Idiot. Predator versus Alien. I'm the idiot who watched Prometheus and had no idea that there was an Alien tie-in until it happened, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
That must have been nice for you.
Yeah, then. It was crazy.
Yeah, I wish I would have had that.
I had no idea.
Been that naive to I'm not super have naive. Known that. No, super but naive. I mean that must have been nice to not have known that and then been
super fun.
Yeah,
and so if Raised by Wolves is doing something very similar, I mean I'm fine. I'm all in for it.
I'd heard Raised by Wolves had an Alien tie-in, so I was sort of expecting it near the end of the Raised by Wolves there.
Yeah. Sure, go for it. I don't care.
But yeah, I like that. Why are you being so defensive? Why are you getting so mad?
Stupid alien.
No, I hate your opinion, Sean.
Fine. No, I'm saying I'm fine with it. I don't care. Just watch The Mandalorian. I don't care. Already.
Just fucking watch it.
I'm also cool. I'm also super stoked about Andor.
Andor.
Which, okay, so like...
I'm totally out of the Star Wars Disney Plus loop. Please.
So have you seen Rogue One, Star Wars story?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you like Rogue One?
I did. So was it my favorite Star Wars? No.
Yeah, it is.
I liked it.
Kick ass.
I thought it was a really cool, different, more mature take on the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. So the main guy, is now, it's a prequel. So it's a prequel to that character.
So Miles Milkinson. Milkinson?
Not that male guy. Cassian Andor.
Oh, the French guy?
Yeah, I don't think he's
French. The Frenchy guy?
I don't think he's French. I think he's from Mexico or something along those lines. Diego Luna.
He looks Frenchy.
He's definitely not French. I've seen many Spanish films with him in it.
He probably smells like patchouli oil. I bet he's so French.
How about this? First of all, he's born in 1979. Sean, can you guess what Mexican city Diego Luna is born in?
Oaxaca City.
Mexico City was a trick question.
Gosh, darn it.
Idiot.
Yeah. Well, join the ranks of Matt then.
Yeah. See, I watched his U2 Mamba Te Bien movie when that was a really popular back in the day.
YouTube movie?
No, it's just I can't really pronounce it.
Oh.
U2 Mamba Te Bien.
Okay,
it's like him and his
Spanish.
Buddy. Yeah. So like he was doing a lot of filmmaking with his buddy. And they're both like in movies now. I think his other buddy's the guy from Station 11.
Okay.
Let me see how smart we are. How can we connect all these?
Have we connected
together?
All the dots just by coincidence?
Yes. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Gael Garcia Bernal, who's also on YouTube, he is in Station 11. He plays Arthur Leander.
Who's the prophecy?
Yeah, no, Arthur Leander is the Shakespearean actor who dies. Like the same day that the pandemic really hits everybody.
Oh, Arthur.
Yeah, Arthur, yeah. So he is Gael Garcia Bernal. He also was like it from Mexico, who does a lot of films with Diego Luna. They did a movie called U2 Mamba Te Bien. But now he's, oh my gosh, now Diego Luna's in the Andor show, which is going to be super awesome, is my point.
Oh my God, and look who directed U2 Mamba Te Bien.
Who?
Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh no. Oh, we gotta end the show right now. Goodbye, everybody.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.